It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Do you know what's not $9.99 and absolutely free?
The Bashi Radio Takedown Network.
Do it again.
No.
Do it again.
You do it.
Say Debashi Radio Takedown Network.com.
You do it.
No, do it one more time.
You do it.
I just did. Now you do it again.
No.
SasquatchProWrestling.com.
Warning, parental advisory is recommended. Oh, shit, just listen.
Thank you for downloading and listening. I'm your host, the Beast from the Middle East, the Yemeni Maniac, the modern day Sheik, Thaifala, the Butcher Debashi.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just a professional wrestler, an entertainer. Right here, another way just to entertain you. If you like this show, spread the word. It's absolutely free to do. You can follow us on Blog Talk Radio. You can subscribe on iTunes and other sources. And you know what? I made it easy for each and every one of you. For all of our links, our latest episodes, and contacts, you can go to www.DobashiRadioTakedownNetwork.com. Oh, and one last thing. I am ordained, and I can marry you, give you all your blessing needs. Enjoy the show.
Or lease from in the morning.
Beast, what's up?
How you doing, brother?
It's great to be back in Chicago.
Chicago, the windy city.
Yeah. Woo! Man, coming back on the plane, man. Well, check this out. Oh, this is a true story, too. So, there's this... I get back, I had my... I sat way back in the... back of the plane. Flew United. Okay. And no, we're not getting paid for plugging them. So... this heavyset lady, older lady, was sitting in the back. She was sitting in the row I was supposed to be in, and I was supposed to be like A38 or whatever. She was, well, no, I don't think you're supposed to sit here. My daughter is. And I said, great, am I going to get tackled like the guy did on United? So anyways, they were cool, and lady comes up, you know, and anyways, and another lady came, and they weren't, it was a misunderstanding, and she wasn't going to sit with their kids, so we did a little, not wife swapping, but chair swapping, and so sat back, and had this good-looking Filipino lady sitting next to me, and another lady on, and I took the aisle, just but I wanted to be a gentleman. The other lady wanted the what do you call it, window seat. I'll never do that again. I'll never sit at the end by the toilets. I kept on getting nudged trying to sleep. And this lady that was in that chair I swapped with stunk.
Oh, geez.
And my chair was all warm. And, oh, man. So I had to, like, go in survival mode and plug my nose.
That's when you rub vapor rub up underneath your rose
room. I didn't even have that. I was trying to snip the Puerto Rican woman next to me, snip up her perfume. She must have liked it because she kept the armrest up. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I just thought I'd share this with you. I'm on the road with, in the same freaking car with Beast.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Fun times, fun times.
Yeah.
It's the Bocce and the Wild Man Beast.
Yes, gonna get wild at J-Dog's wedding tomorrow.
Yes. Who's to say what will happen?
Yes. Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah.
I hope they have like open mics so we could hear Beast sing.
Yeah, they're going to be doing karaoke, yes.
Oh, they are?
Yes.
Oh, damn. I want to do a duet with you.
Alrighty.
I don't know what song, but I could sing some Tom Jones. Pussycat, pussycat. Chuck Berry, My Ding-a-ling.
My Ding-a-ling. Or Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder. Ebony
and ivory.
Live together in perfect
harmony. Thunder Rosa. Nice. Is Cobra Moon's ear bleeding right now? Thunder Rosa, we do that show Love Lock on Fridays. Been kind of hard. She's traveling. She's doing Lucha Underground and stuff. But oh. I always get her to sing, and now we're singing.
Sweet.
The Beast is so smooth. Beast is so smooth. He's smoother than some Godiva milk chocolate. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Smoother than, how do you say it?
Baby's bottom?
Baby's bottom, yeah. Yeah, that's more sufficient, yeah.
Chocolate sounds better, though. Doing that keto diet. High fat, high protein. Get to do away with carbs. Now I want some chocolate. Some actual chocolate. Oh, man. I don't want to say hot tub because J-Dog might get jealous.
Yeah.
Inside joke, guys. Well, speaking of J-Dog, I don't know what made me think of it. How was it working for WCW?
It was actually a great experience. You know, traveling on the road, learning basics, learning the real knowledge of pro wrestling. You know, getting to sit down with Harley Race, a true legend in the sport. And he taught me things that I never knew. And to this day, at the age of 46, still out here wrestling. I love it. Great, great times, great memories.
Yeah. Man, it's been a while since I've been to Chicago. I love Chicago.
It's a big city, but expensive as hell.
Is that guy got a gun? Oh, I'm just joking. Sign guy, you suck. Actually, you're all right. That Beast Barnett. Oh, let me tell you something. I can't wait. See, we're supposed to be doing another podcast. It's going to be aired later, but a few hours from now, as we're taping this, I promised Sign Guy would be on the Sign Guy radio show. Sign Guy won't be on. And he had a hissy fit. I thought he was going to commit suicide or something because he didn't think we were going to be on. Well, I got Dave Barnett, the Beast Barnett. I said, man, I got the real Beast in here. So I think we're going to have a talk with the Beast Barnett and see why is he calls himself the Beast.
He's not a beast. Probably a pussy willow, but not a beast.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. So how's life?
Life is good. Life is good. Just traveling, doing what I do best, kicking ass and taking names. And also became one half of the UIWA Tag Team Champions with my good friend, Chief Ala Kula Kula.
Chief Feta Kula Kula!
Yeah.
darn telemarketers. Telemarketers recording. This ain't a plug for Apple. We're talking on this Apple iPhone. Got this app, and I don't know if you heard the ring or whatever, but anyways. So we're back.
Yeah, pussy will want to be a beast, but can't be a beast.
So we're going to have the other half of the... Which one's the bigger half?
I think I am, because my boobs hang out more.
That's why Chiefs likes to team with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to talk beast and to have a match with me in the middle of the pickup spot at the airport, but he said it wasn't a good idea.
Yeah,
he lives here, so.
Yeah, the police, it would have been on, we would have made headline news, but it would have been funny.
Oh, yeah, and they would say it's a terrorist, terrorist act. I'd have to pull up my red, white, and blue turban.
Yeah.
Well. All right, well, I guess we're going to sign off, and we'll be back again, and I'm sure we're going to have Chief Atakula Kula and Miss Atakula Kula on the other end, too, so. We'll talk to you in a few.
Peace.
Me and him just don't have good.
I am back. I'm in Indiana. We're at, I think it's Callahan's, having breakfast. I'm with Miss Atakula Kula, Chief Atakula Kula, and my boy Tone C. And we're eating breakfast. I'm having some kind of high protein fat thing in the Greek skillet. Bonnie's chilling with the steak and stuff. Tone C, you got a big stack of flapjack, and Chief has a whole lot of everything.
First one since the Hall of Fame show last year. I won the Luthaz Battle Royale.
Well, I'm just going to. We're just talking office talk, and I thought it'd be good for the podcast. So I'm just going to set this down, and hopefully you guys can hear it.
Thing. Oh, okay. All right. Was begging me to come back and do a match.
Who?
Troy Peterson.
Oh, yeah.
IPW,
oh, okay.
Company in Iowa.
Okay.
So I came back and did that match with that young
syrup in a second. You're good right now.
I did that match with Cougar Hunter Austin Fouts. Austin Fouts. He's only been wrestling over a year.
Oh, okay.
But he's pretty over as a heel there.
Yeah.
And he's a young kid that gets it. He does the basics. He's not a flippy guy. Like, he can go off the top rope. Like, he did in our match. He missed a frog splash. But he doesn't. But he knows the character and psychology,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So he gets heat. So I'm like, I'll come back and do a match with this kid. And the fans wanted to see it.
Yeah.
Well, the fans really want to see me chop him really bad.
Yeah.
So we get in the locker room that night, and he comes up and says, what are we going to do? And I said, well, we'll just walk and talk out there. Because IPW is still a pro company where they give you the finish.
Oh,
for a lot
nice.
Of big companies I work for, like Puerto Rico or NWA in Portland.
Yeah.
And they all draw, like, big crowds. They give you the finish. Which is the way it used to be and which is the way it should be.
Yeah.
And so we knew the finish. I'm like, what's a walk and talk out there? And he goes, well, because the crowd building up to that really wanted to see me put him in his place. They want to see a lot of chops. He goes, I guess I'm going to be taking a lot of chops tonight. And I'm like, no, you're not. And he's like, really? He goes, I assumed I would. I said, that's what the crowd wants to see. And I said, we're going to give him a little bit.
Yeah.
But the whole beginning of the match psychology was he kept getting away from me.
Uh-huh.
And then he kept... Go for lockup, duck under. He leaves the ring. I told him to do. Go for lockup, duck under, leaves the ring.
Yep.
Third time he tries to duck over, I catch him. I push him into the corner. I'm like, okay, here comes the chops. Told him to move.
Right.
I chopped, he moved, I chopped the buckle, and I spun around. I'm like, give me three, because I know his chops are kind of weak.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave me one, stinged it, no sold it. Gave me another one, no sold it, right? Gave me a third one, and I wrote, now bail. So I was walking towards him, so then I went to top him, and he bailed out of the ring. Didn't get him. Nice. Building it up, right?
Nice. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So he goes outside the ring, so I go out after him. So he goes running from me, and I'm just walking. Well, then when he's running and he turns and doesn't look at me, I start running. So then I come right up behind him. He's arguing with the crowd. I tap him on his shoulder. He turns around. I give him this big chop. Like,
ah,
right?
Yeah.
So I did the thing. I chopped him around three sides. I got to put him against the ring post these time. On the fourth side, I told him to duck. I went chopping me duck. I chopped the post.
Uh-huh.
Like, work my hand. He worked my hand the rest of the match. So they saw three chops.
Nice.
I'm like, we're not gonna give them a bunch because that's what they want.
Yeah.
And if we do this again, then they're gonna come back.
And not to mention, you're not flipping and flying around the ring like an idiot. Tell it a story.
The biggest thing they saw at the end, he missed a frog splash.
Yep.
We're double down. We work back to our feet.
Yep.
I give him the sit out choke bomb.
Oh, okay.
You know,
okay.
Basically, but yeah, the match is online. But yeah, it was huge. We were the semi main.
Mm-hmm.
And but the whole time he's working my hand, then after that, I'm like, had him stomping my hand.
Right.
He worked the hand.
Exactly.
Like, worked the hand the whole
time. It's so easy.
Because that takes my chopping hand out.
When I
chop the post. And the crowd the whole time trying to get me to come back.
Yep. Yeah.
I start going back, give him a couple shots, cut me off.
Build him up. Yeah, absolutely.
He's like, that's the loudest match I ever had. And he goes, the easiest. He said, that's the best match I ever had. And he said, it was the easiest.
When I
do a lot of shit.
That's like me when I work bow. We were
chasing it right here for everybody.
Yeah,
wonderful.
It was so. I guess one of Bo's things he does is like you hit him in his head and he no sells it.
Right, like Bo Brazil.
Yeah, yeah. So he's telling me this when we're talking in the back. So we go out there and we work the match. And he's working my hand. I do this quick little cheat comeback thing. I'm doing my thing. I fire and I screwed up because I like to throw my punches when I work, so I throw a punch, and I hit him, and the second I hit him, it dawned on me, shit. So all of a sudden, I just went comedy, man, and I was like, ow, I started selling the hand immediately.
And was then he working your hand? And then...
No, like, he's got, his part of his gimmick is you can't hit him in his head, and he no-sells
it. You hit him in the head,
he's
going
to no-sell it.
Yeah.
So the second I threw it, it was like, you screwed up. Comedy. I was like, ow! So then, it got such a good reaction from the crowd, I did it two more times during the match.
When I'm a heel, I'm working him, that's what I do.
Then at the end, as like a topper, right before he finished me off, I was working him, I got him to a knee, and I took my elbow, and I went right on top of the head, man, and then I sold the elbow like crazy, mm-hmm. and then we rolled right into the finish from there. Crowd popped, it was beautiful. Other than bumping a whole bunch, it was easy.
What I like with me and him, we don't even hardly say a word out there, and we don't talk over anything in the back. Like the night he put me over on his show,
mm-hmm.
we were standing there talking, and they started playing my music, and I didn't know the finish yet.
Uh-huh, nice.
And I'm like, well, Bubba, what are we doing for finish? And he goes, I'm going to put you over tonight. I'm going for returns. And everybody's like, the whole night everybody kept coming up to us. Like, you guys going to talk about, we were talking about everything but wrestling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're like, we'll just walk and talk out there. So I'm like, he's like, we didn't know how we're going to go into the finish. He goes, I'm going to put you over. And I said, well, you probably wouldn't take my choke bomb very good. I said, Rude Awakening good? And he's like, yep.
Nice.
That's all we said. And went
nice.
Out there, and I went through the curtain.
That's awesome.
But yeah, that's what I did. And I know how Bobo, I mean, I know like
well,
he works like daddy. He does the head. And so I do the headbutt, remember? But that night, when I hit him with a headbutt,
right.
I bumped off of it. I grabbed him. I was working him. And I grabbed him to get my big headbutt because they know I do headbutts.
Yep.
I headbutted him. And then I just messed teeth punched him backwards. And he just stood there and looked down at me. And the crowd popped.
Well, that's just like when me and you did the Taipei death match. We had the finish plan for months. Other than that, we didn't plan anything.
Anything.
Like, the finish was planned months in advance. We had that done a long time ago.
Everything we did up for 6 months was leading up to
yeah.
that finish.
Yeah, and we didn't talk about nothing before we went out there. And people still talk about that match around in this area.
People are so busy because Bobo, I had him in a corner, right? And I just slammed him into the buckle head first. I knew he was going to no-sell it.
Right.
He just looks at me.
Right.
I grab him again, slam him in a second time. He just turns around and looks at me, poked him in the eyes.
Ah.
The crowd blew up. They were pissed.
Nice.
And I'm like,
nice.
You know, I just had to take his eyes out.
We was, that show that I worked J-Dog with, we did something pretty similar to that. So I laid, like, I don't know why, but for some reason, when I work somebody for the first time and I know I'm going to do in advance, I try to come up with something in my head initially out of the gate.
Now, I always watch video of everybody if I don't know them.
Right. I didn't.
I go on YouTube and watch some videos,
I knew,
see what they do.
I knew J-Dog, but I'd never worked him. So, no. Like, I'm planning in my head. And we get there, and I said, hey, man, come here. I got an idea for the finish. I want to go over it with you. I laid the whole match out in the back for him. We went over it and over it and over it. We were spot monkeys that night, I admit it. But I wanted it to be good. Because we were the main event. Mm-hmm. Or no, I'm sorry, we weren't. There was a death match for a main event, and I kind of wanted to do better than the death match. Mm-hmm. So,
or make them work harder.
Anyway. Exactly. So, which they did. There was actually some other really good matches on that card. But anyway, we were working this spot where J-Dog was starting his comeback, and I was supposed to feed up, run in. He ducks the line. I come running back in. He hits me with a leg lariat. I'll take the bump. Well, he forgot one of the switches, and when he threw the lariat, we just weren't in the right position, so I just stepped out of the way, and right. He took the bump. Mm-hmm. And initially, I was like, oh shit. But then Ben, I had Ben with me that night, and he was going, good, that's a boy, way to be towed, smart. And then that's all I did was just tap on the head and eat, man, yep. Eat. It's the little things.
Yep.
It's always the little things.
Yeah, it's okay when stuff like that happens because the fans don't know what was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
So it don't matter. I tell guys that when they get off, the young guys get offset.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't know what was supposed to happen. They're only you guys did.
That, you ever hear that saying, Vince McMahon likes his shows live because if someone comes out and fucks up or slips or something, mm-hmm. All that's supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to mm-hmm. happen.
Yeah. 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 Guys get so worried about a missed spot. I'm like, it don't matter. They don't know what was supposed to happen there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We covered it up right away.
I kind of yep. think, yep. too, if it's not crisp, like perfect cribs, it looks more believable.
Yeah, a lot yep. of the new stuff, like Lost Subs and Ring of Honor, it looks choreographed.
Yeah.
You can tell guys waiting for, I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. can tell he's waiting to catch him, waiting to do this. No,
exactly.
If anything looks too smooth,
yeah.
it looks rehearsed.
Yeah.
You know, my mom, you know, she's a big mm-hmm. wrestling fan. She's kind of smart enough to business, but not, you know. Likes to believe, you know. And
yeah.
She'll sit there. She's like, why is he just waiting for him?
Right.
And I'm thinking if she sees it.
Yeah. Right.
How many other people
yeah.
see it?
Exactly.
Martha does that too. If I notice stuff.
Yeah.
Because I don't pay attention.
Yeah. Even Candy, my wife, ma'am. It's funny because she came to that last show in Valpo.
More coffee? You want me to grab those and get those out of your way?
Sure.
Excuse me. Thank you.
Can I please? Can you make my coffee? I won't tell nobody.
Do you want me to stick my finger in it? Better just use an extra Splenda.
I'm trying to splurge. I guess I'll stick with Splenda.
I'm right next time.
Okay.
Oh, what was I saying? I forget now.
Your wife came to the show. And
oh, yeah. So I'll text her while I'm in the back, and I'll be like, hey, how was this match? How's the crowd? How's this? How's the... So she's gotten so good at it now that I don't even have to initiate the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she says, oh, my God, this show is awful.
Bonnie does that, don't you?
I said, hey, man, I heard Kevin and Smooth had a bad match. And she said, yeah, that's being nice about it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. He's like you.
Yeah, exactly. How's the crowd? Big crowd? Nope, lots of kids, you know. So you know what you got to do and what you can and what you can't do, too, you know. I don't know, me and you need to work again. I want to work you, too.
I'm down, dude.
You just got to get a promoter to pay it. That's the problem. Yeah.
I
they're so cheap nowadays, man. I'm telling you.
Well, not all of them, but.
Yeah.
Man, I'm down.
In this state, it's tough.
I got the promo itch again. I'm ready to be a promo whore. But hey, guys, I got to, you know, I let the people know we're going to be on the road trip. So I'm going to read one of the emails we got.
Okay.
All right. This is from Ollie. He goes, I have talked to an indie wrestler. He said he gave the office handshake in the WWE locker room and no one to one of the vets who was an agent and got on him and said, no one does that anymore. You need a shake like a man. Do you still give the office shake or is it dead? Also, Eid Mubarak Dabashi, Dave Blood Dabashi. Thank you, Ollie. It's the Arabic holiday. It's holy month of Ramadan. Eid's tomorrow, which will be Sunday. This podcast is Tuesday. Eid Mubarak to you. So what do you guys think about the handshake, guys?
It varies from place to place and person to person. Like, I still do it. And a lot of times I'll come across another veteran somewhere that I haven't met before. And he'll be like, oh, my God, you do the handshake. He's like, I love that. He's like, half the guys don't even know it. And then other people are like, nobody ever, a lot of guys don't. They give you the real firm one. And some of them don't know, I think even know the old handshake. And some of them do. And I never give it. I always give the office handshake. And some of them, I mean, I know some of them don't like it, but nobody ever says anything to me about it. But I hear people say stuff about it, but nobody actually ever confronts me that, like, oh, we don't shake like that anymore. Because I do, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. I just do the way I was taught and the way I came up through the business.
I'm similar. Like, I do both. It's funny with me, like, I will legit look at their hand before I extend my hand out.
Oh, and you can tell if they're...
Yeah, and I can tell if they're going to give me the office handshake or if they're going to firm it up. Me, preferably, I like to firm it up. I teach my son firm handshake. I'm all about the firm handshake, but I can do either or.
You know, I've been doing that handshake for 31 years, and Bonnie can even tell you. Like, it's so natural for me now, and real, even when I'm not shaking any worker's hand, that's how I shake.
See, that...
Like, first time I met Bonnie's dad, she's like, oh, for a big guy, he has a really weak handshake.
That's the problem with me, too.
And when he met Beast, he said the same thing, didn't he, hon? Because Beast does,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and he's like, oh, well, look, big guys have really good hands.
That's my problem too.
I gotta
like gauge myself when I shake my hands for other things. I try to do a firm handshake, and people be like, yeah, he has a wimpy handshake.
Yeah,
but that's funny because, well, Chief knows who I'm talking about. I'm not gonna name drop, but you know the guy I told you I got the gig. The new guy said I like Chief. Mm-hmm. Remember the rookie guy said I like, he's a good worker?
Oh, who's Seth Rollins trained?
I wasn't going to name drop, but okay.
Anyways, Seth freaking Rollins.
anyways, when we went to, when I introduced him to the promoter, he gave the guy a firm handshake. And I'm thinking, it makes sense what Ollie just said.
Honey, that's water, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want another one? Oh, that's you. Okay.
And it kind of makes sense what Ollie said because he gave the promoter a firm handshake. And the promoter looked at me and goes, he must be a stiff. I said, no, yeah. I was defending him. No, he's a really good worker.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you know the office shake? And it's funny, he didn't even know what I was really talking about.
Yeah.
So
I still do the office handshake.
In this state, I'd say probably 90% of the workers that I come across don't do the office handshake anymore.
They don't know.
Yeah.
If you went down to Puerto Rico and Mexico and did that, they'd throw you out of the locker room.
Yep.
If you didn't do the office handshake.
I've heard everybody
down there, but it's still very old school. If you went down there, they'd be like, this guy don't know how to work.
I've heard that.
Yep.
Wow.
I remember when I first got in the habit of doing that light handshake, and it really threw off my sex life because I usually like a firm grip.
Maybe that's so why I still prefer really, the firm handshake.
I couldn't really please myself very well.
That's gross.
I kept a potato in myself.
A potato in yourself? kept showing up at the doctor's office every other week with a ruptured testicle, and he couldn't figure out why.
That's equally as gross.
I wonder if anyone ever punched a munchkin and bladed it.
Oh, hey, I almost forgot. Guess who I guess? August 19th, I might get to wrestle a little person.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Who is it?
There's this Fed down in Marion. It's actually a different. There's another Fed in Marion we work for. Hank got the booking, so, and he
You're
got
wrestling
me.
You're Kevin Roberts?
You're not the first person that said that.
I'm sure I'm not.
Yeah. No, Kevin's not doing that one, but anyway, yeah, we're working for some little person Fed in Marion, and I actually requested to the promoter, I was like, hey, can I want to I want to work a little person.
T.C. Washington.
I want a job out to one too. Like I want to do the job.
Randy,
I haven't heard back. Oh.
Randy. Man, I probably know him. I know most of them. People get a hold of me to book midgets, don't they? And I just book midgets in Portland and in Wisconsin.
Really?
I don't know a lot of midgets.
I've been on one show with a midget.
Oh, I've worked a bunch of midgets.
One.
I've worked female midgets.
I've wanted to for as long as I can remember. I've wanted to get in there with a little person and go. I just think it'd be so much fun.
Since when you've been politically correct?
I thought you wrestled Jaden a few weeks ago.
Hey, who's taller, T.C. Washington or Randy Zellers?
Probably Randy.
Which way?
You've seen TC.
Is TC short? I've just seen pictures of him. I've never met him in person.
Yeah, TC's short.
Have you talked to him lately?
Probably not for about 4 or 5 months.
But yeah, Jaden Quick is kind of a midget too, so.
I've worked female midgets.
Really?
I bare ass think face one, didn't I?
What's up with Levi? Is he getting back into it?
Yeah, he is. He's going to start wrestling for MWA again.
Nice.
We got a big 5-6 night in a row. First of August, we got a big tour starting in Indiana, ends in Nebraska.
We're doing fair shows.
Down in southern Indiana somewhere. I can look up my phone. Some fairgrounds down there. We're doing fairs.
I've always wanted to work with them. I've never gotten a chance to. I tagged with them, but never got to work with them. You guys going to work each other?
Levi?
Yeah.
They had another.
I don't know. It's Brian, but I don't. Brian will probably have me wrestle him, I imagine.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I had another email from Sue, and she just wanted to know what's everyone's biggest pet peeve in wrestling.
So, biggest one? I don't know if I can narrow it down.
If they've heard me on other podcasts,
I go off about a lot of stuff.
You could fill up about 5 episodes of podcasts with just this right here, bro.
Oh, I like that. Let's give a play by play. Bonnie just fed Chief some meat.
A little reversal of roles, whatever.
Bonnie, what's your biggest pet peeve?
Wrestling.
Ah!
Bada boom.
That's exactly what I was thinking too. I don't know. What do you think, man?
Like, annoying Yemens.
Yeah. Where do I begin? High spots.
No wrestling gear.
No. Yeah. Unless it's part of your gimmick.
Right. Exactly.
Unless it's part of your gimmick.
Such a part of your gimmick. Hanging out
and,
in the crowd.
Do you still
get your gear at Walmart?
Nope. Yes. Yes, I do. Yes.
When
just. I said I can't break the streak, Chief.
If I confuse Chief, he might get a little upset with me.
I can't do that.
I almost texted you last week. I can't remember who was with me. I was in Kmart in Iowa City, and they're going out of business.
Yeah. We got one in Mishawaka that is.
Yeah, and I was over in the sporting department. I almost took a picture and sent it to you and said, "Hey, come see. They got clothes out on gear. You better come over here."
You know that Walmart is selling wrestling boots now?
No way.
Yeah. I mean, somebody sent me a link.
Pro wrestling boots?
Online or at their stores?
I don't know. I don't think it's at their stores. I think it's just online. But somebody sent me a link. And I seen it on another Facebook something or other.
Backyarders.
And yeah, they're selling wrestling boots now. Walmart.
It's one stop shop for you now, isn't it?
Whatever happened to Hot Topics?
That's still a thing. That's still a thing. And let me just point something out. I do not wear boots because I want to be comfortable in the ring. I wear wrestling shoes with kick pads. Yes, I'm one of those.
With what?
With kick pads.
Because, you know, he's a flippy guy.
I'm a flippy guy.
You gotta have
a kick pad. Ladies and gentlemen, I am fat. I do not flip and fly.
He likes to flip.
He flips a burger and it flies down his mouth.
That's a very accurate statement, yes. The most you're going to see me do on a rope is I do a second rope splash and I do a second rope crossbody and only big matches.
That's not what Chief told me.
No, is that that's
Chief,
not
what, Chief said.
I was going to say about one of your promoters that got mad at me for starting a This Is Boring chant.
Yep. Bonnie and then selling my merch and she starts a This Is Boring chant. Yeah.
You started it?
Yeah. And he told Rod to get a, you know, to settle me down or whatever, and he's like, make your show better.
The crowd went all around hated it.
Good point.
I said, because the crowd was bored. And she started, everybody followed along, and I'm like, we'll entertain them.
Then
they pick it up.
No.
Not when I went out there and did.
I'll give you a pet peeve. I don't know if this is would be number one on my list, but it's pretty high up there right now. Like, I'm really digging playing a heel right now. Like, I feel like I'm in a zone.
Right.
I'm pretty good at being an asshole.
That's why I like being a heel better.
Right, right. That's a guess.
Yes. I'm really digging it. One of my biggest pet peeves right now is when I go to a show and no one tries to get heat. They just want to go out there and put on a good match
and get the pop.
And it's like, dude, you don't have to go out there and flip and fly to put on a good match.
Don't worry about five stars.
The people, the ones that are paying the money, if you can get them to react to you.
Or trying to pop the boys in the back.
And that's what I was going to say, and that's what I talk about on lotteries, which is what I talk about on yours. I hate when the guys come to the back and the crowd will be dead. I know whether I had a good match or not. You can hear from the crowd.
Yep.
You don't need to ask.
Yep.
But you come to the back. And no, after our buddies, hey, did you see this? Did you see that? Did you see that? I always told them on my shows when I was running, I'm like, it doesn't matter what these guys in the back say. They didn't pay a penny to see you. Those people did.
Yeah.
Entertain those people. Don't entertain your buddies in the back.
You know what I tell guys? Yeah. I tell some of the younger guys, I go, you know what? If you go out there and you both have left feet and just shit all over yourselves and it's a complete dumpster fire, if they're in it, that's all. It was a great match. That's exactly right.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
And that's what I tell people. When I ran shows, I'd always ask the guys in the back. I knew it was the best match by the fans because you could tell by reaction.
Yeah.
But I would ask the boys in the back, what do you think was the best match tonight? It was never the match that the crowd liked.
Right.
The boys will tell you some little, where they're... Two of their buddies went out and did all this technical shit, and I'm like, it was the quietest match on the show.
Yeah.
The match that the boys in the back pick is the best, and the one that the crowd is loudest for, that's the best because that's the one that's going to bring them back.
Yeah. That show I did.
Nobody gets it.
That show I did in Valpo, we cut that promo. I went to the back. Somebody came up, and I was a little irritated by how it went down. But when I was back there, I looked at him. I said, well, you know what? We got the heat anyway. I knew right out of the gate I wasn't going to have to do nothing in my match with Jaden. Because all I had to do was work the crowd. I hit him with a big move. He lays there and sells it. I throw my hands in the air.
Yep.
His reaction. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Too easy. But yet everybody wants to beat the shit out of themselves for a $20 payday. At that, if you're lucky.
And then you get no reaction.
Right. Right.
That's why I tell some of these young guys, they're getting like $20. I'm like, I make 10 times more than you and do a quarter as much out there.
Exactly. That's exactly.
Work smart. Yeah. Work smart.
Work smart. Not hard. Have you ever listened to Jim Cornette's podcast?
Yeah.
More coffee?
So,
this is. You have to pick up those plates and get them out of your way.
This has probably been.
Can I ask you one more time?
So you're going to get the finger in that. That's for sure.
He's working on that, isn't he? He's trying.
So it's probably been like...
He's always trying. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's probably been like a little over a year ago, but I heard him say on his podcast one time, and according to him, there have been scientific studies done on this, but every time you lay down a perfect back bump, perfect, it's equivalent to a 35-mile-an-hour car crash.
I heard that, too. I heard that on CNN, though. I heard it on CNN.
It's actually true.
Yeah.
But yet, so how many 35-mile-an-hour car crashes do you want to be in your life?
Well, and now...
And wrestling's fake.
Not only that, but think about when you first started training. We all trained the old school way.
Yep.
It was bump,
yep.
Bump,
yep.
Bump. The first two weeks,
I wasn't even in a ring. We did it on wrestling mats on a concrete floor.
After two weeks, they
put us in a ring. Because if you can take that, then the ring's going to be much better. Plus, you can take a bump outside the ring.
Yep. I was lucky. The first ring I ever got to bump in was a old Smoky Mountain wrestling ring. That was the first ring I ever got to bump in. Second ring I ever bumped in was a homemade wrestling ring in a backyard.
See, I bumped in those old Memphis rings, like the Waller had.
Yeah.
And those things were like a wooden floor in your house because they were all wooden frames, wooden beams going across. They didn't get it.
But here's the
it's
funny
like being slammed on a floor in your house.
Here's the funny thing about that, though. If a perfect back bump is equivalent to a 35-mile-an-hour car crash...
How many perfect ones do you take?
How bad are the bad bumps?
Exactly.
And guys want to go out there and bump 9 million times in a match.
And that's in the ring.
And be done. And look, you see all your friends on Facebook all the time talking about they need to retire because of health issues. And you're older than all of them.
Yeah.
I'm older than some of them.
Look at Mick Foley.
Yeah.
I bump when it's smart.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna take it, and, exactly. And I'll go out there. It's gonna. I don't care. Something. I don't care if there's like I'm like when I wrestled Savio in front of 2,200 people in Puerto Rico, or if there's 20 people. I'm gonna make sure you're entertained and give you a good match. But I'm gonna take bigger risk and bigger bumps in front of 2,200 people than I am in 20.
Yeah.
In front of 20.
Yeah.
It just makes sense.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Or something that's on TV down there because way more people are seeing it.
Right.
That's what they even the WWE guys. You go to a house show, they don't know half the stuff they do on TV. On TV, it's a much broader audience.
Yep. That's what
and
they
don't. They anything. Don't want you to get injured. They don't want them. That's why a lot of people say, like on house shows, you know, they don't do anything big. But why would they get in? Why would they want their guys to get injured on a house show when WWE is a TV company?
Yep.
Now? They're not an old school wrestling company. They are for TV.
Yep. And sorry, television show.
Right. And so they don't want you to get injured and miss TV for 6 or 8 weeks.
I forget who said this.
So you're going to do the big stuff on TV or on pay-per-views.
Yes.
I forget who said this, but they were getting on Cena and someone was like, Cena. Cena proved he could go. You seen him with CM Punk.
Oh, he can go, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah,
bullshit
yeah.
What people say.
Yeah, yeah, but like he's in the main event. He just have to do 3 or 4 of his signature moves. Why hurt himself?
That's how any of the guys that were the most over guys in the business.
Hogan,
right.
And I've seen him work good in Japan.
Yeah, yeah, but all of the guys that were huge had 4 or 5 big signature moves. Yep. That's what the people pay to come
see. That's exactly
I remember
right.
I was on a show with Al Snow, and Al Snow's great. Uh-huh. He'll go out there, and he'll put over your local talent if you bring him for a show.
Yep.
He's all about the show, and he told me, I was on several shows, though. I wrestled Al several times, and one time in a tag match, me and Sam were wrestling Al and Scotty Too Hotty, and the local promoter wanted to put them over, and we were the big heel faction, you know, in the company, and the promoter was like 23, his dad paid for everything, you know,
yeah.
But he's like, no, I want you guys to go over, and Al actually argued with him, he goes, but your guys are going to be back next month, we're not.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes, if Al's like, because some WWE, former WWE guys, they just want to go over.
Yeah.
But Al's like, he's all about the show, he's like, if you put them over us, then they're on our level. And next month, you got the guys who beat the WWE guys. You know what I mean? He goes, if we beat them, we bury them, we're not back, they got a draw for you next month.
Yeah.
He goes, that don't make no sense.
Right.
Kids still put them over. Al couldn't, and Al was pissed. Al couldn't talk him into it.
Are you serious?
No. Nope. He wouldn't listen to Al Snow. But Al, he totally gets the whole thing. I was going somewhere else with this. What were we saying before? I was going to tell you something else about Al that was pertinent to what you were saying. What did you say right before I...
About bumping or something? Doing less?
Oh, no, okay. But on another show, another time I was on a show with him, he wasn't working me, he was working somebody else. Mark Sterling, great worker from Kansas City. Mark's had a bunch of WWE dark matches, but he's a big CrossFit champion guy. But he was working Mark, and Mark's like, so what are you going to beat me with tonight? Because Al was going over. He goes, a snowplow or, you know, named off a couple of Al's finishers. He goes, nobody wants to see that. He goes, they don't care about Al Snow. And he goes, well, what are you going to beat me with? And he goes, head. He said, nobody wants to see Al Snow. They want to see head.
Ah, that's great.
And so at the end of the match, actually, Mark got head out. Because Al always has head in the corner and went to hit Al with it. Al ducked, kicked him in the gut. Head went up in the air. He caught him, bashed him with it, and pinned him. But he's like, that's what they want to see.
Yeah.
They don't want to see it. He said, they don't care about the moves I do. They want to see you get hit with head.
Yeah. It's.
But guys don't get it.
It's funny. It's funny because, like, it's a world of make-believe.
Yep.
I mean, that's what this is.
But
I look at it as an art form. Like, every time I'm going, and if I have a direction on where I'm going, then I'm all about it. Because then I get to sit there and I get to paint that picture, I get to write that book, and tell the story how I want it. Like, the creative freedom I have, like, for Kevin and Beezy's bed. Like, I went to his house the Tuesday before the show, and I was like, this is what I want to do, this is what's going to make sense. Tell me what, if you got an better idea, shoot it at me. But it's a world of make-believe.
Right.
But everybody wants to take it so seriously all at the same time.
Yep. It's,
make them believe. That's all you got to do.
But, you know, a lot of these...
You ain't got to do it by throwing yourself at the ground.
A lot of these young guys think they know more than the veterans.
Yeah.
And because I can do all this flippy stuff, Chief can't, but I'll still have a louder match with them.
And I
think it's funny because we always pick the veterans. They're very rarely where Beast and I go somewhere. Like down in Marion, Ohio, for Solid, those guys are great. Those young guys always pick our brains. Most places we go, nobody asks us any questions.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want our advice on nothing.
Right.
I don't give it unless anybody ever asks me, but we rarely get asked anymore. Beast and I were just talking about this the other day on the road. But nobody hardly, like these young guys don't even want our opinions. You know?
At the places that I'm booked that there are guys on the card that have been in longer than me or as long as me, I will ask them to watch my match.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Like July will be, next month will be 16 years I've been doing this in some way, shape, or form. And I still feel green at times, like especially like when I'm around you or when I'm around other guys that have been in much longer than me. I still feel green. Like the kids today, I don't get it, dude, because they don't.
Well, that's
I said something to somebody on somebody put their match on Facebook, and I commented on it, and I was like, man, that was tough to watch. And this kid's been in the business less than a year. He's probably got maybe 20
got
matches under
hurt,
his belt.
He?
Oh, yeah. He comes right back with, well, have you ever watched your match? Can I say bathroom break? And I go, you know what, kid? Not everybody's into the hardcore, no-sell shit matches.
Yeah.
Some of us actually look at this still as an art form.
Yep.
And not just a platform to boost our own ego for free nonetheless, because I know some of the guys that worked that card and you didn't get paid jack shit.
Yeah.
Which means you did all that to yourself for nothing, homie. Yep. Nothing.
There's an art form to working hard for.
You know, absolutely. You know Edsel Mendoza.
Yeah.
I knew him in Puerto Rico, and he lives up in the Seattle area now. But I knew him back in Puerto Rico. He's from Puerto Rico, a Puerto Rican wrestler. He's been wrestling 16 years. At NWWA in Portland last month, he asked me to watch his match. He said, will you come watch my match at the first year? And Edsel's a veteran.
Right. Yeah.
And I even have asked Savio, and Savio and I have been doing it the same amount of time, 31 years. And I even asked Savio in Puerto Rico for some advice and what he thought. And he's like, dude, you've been doing it as long as me. I said, I ain't been to places you have, though.
Right.
I mean, I'd get around. I you know, travel a lot, but I mean, I wouldn't in WWE like him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I'm asking your opinion because you've been places I haven't been.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going those places at my age, but if I can still better myself,
yeah.
I'm like, what do you think I can do better?
Don't get me wrong.
You want to know what's shocking? You know what? The only thing Savio said, you know, I've wrestled him a few times. The only thing he said, and this is going to surprise you, it surprised me, but I listened to his advice. He told me I needed to be more aggressive.
Really?
I think I'm a pretty aggressive heel, but
you
said
are.
I need to be more aggressive.
You are.
I'm like, okay.
Wow. Wow.
That was the only thing he thought. He goes, I think you should be a little more aggressive.
I wonder if he wouldn't tell me the same.
And I think about it. And people look at me usually as a pretty vicious heel.
Yeah.
I'm like, well,
hey, that's
then
pretty
I'm going to try
that's
to step
only,
it up another
yeah.
notch.
Hey, that's pretty good. That's the only thing he came up with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's what he wanted. He said, I think you could even be a little more aggressive. I'm like, kind of floored me, but I'm like, well, then I'm going to try to be even more vicious.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Absolutely.
Hey, he might regret it next time you wrestle.
Yeah, man, this kid, he got all types of upset, and I was just like, man, get real, you know what I mean? Like, and I told him, I was like, dude, you ain't all that, and neither am I. Like, I work a show, there's a Fed we work for in Marion, every now and then they bring in guys that have been to TNA or been at WWE or whatever. They can bring in a guy with less experience than me that comes there, and I'm still going to pick his ear because he's been to a level that I haven't been.
Right.
Not to say that I want to get to that level, like I'm content being a weekend warrior.
I make good money and travel a lot and get paid travel, so I'm happy where I'm at. I know at my age I'm not going to go.
Right.
You know, like I've been to Mexico, Canada, Puerto Rico. I'm not going to go to WWE, and I don't even have that desire. There's other places I'd rather go than that because that's not even really my style.
Yeah. Right. Well, I mean, like, I can't be away from my kid for more than a couple days without losing my mind, so I couldn't do it even if I wanted to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm content doing the weekend warrior thing, and I get my little adrenaline rush that way, and then I go back to regular life during the week, you know? But, yeah. And most of these kids, man, they do all that bump, all them bumps. This kid is like 16, 17 years old doing all this shit. So you watch. Before that kid's 30, he's going to do the whole, due to medical reasons, I am no longer able to wrestle.
Like I see all the time from these 25 and 30-year-old guys. On there.
Yeah.
But yeah, and the thing is,
like
they don't
the old
get it.
Guys
like
weren't selling, too dumb back then.
Selling
you know?
Is the most important thing.
Yep.
You will get more reaction. Huh. More.
I worked the night I won, it was a different show. I worked a show and there was a promoter there and he looked at me and he said, nice job out there tonight, man. And I was like, thank you. And he said, I really like the way you sell. And I looked back at him and I go, it's what I do best.
Ricky Morton and Ricky Steamboat made careers on selling.
Oh, thank you.
On selling.
Thank you.
And they did it good where they made a little comeback. They weren't like dead. You know what I'm saying? Like
Ricky Morton's still out there wrestling.
Yeah.
So you've been on. Yeah.
But no, but you know what I'm saying?
I've been on shows with Ricky.
I've seen people, they, you know, do the, you know what I'm saying, get beat up, but they don't make that little.
You got to stay alive. Yeah, it's called staying alive. If you go dead, then the crowd's not going to stay behind you. You got to always be fighting, always be trying to come back.
If you're a baby face, you got to have two things. You got to have
fire,
sell, you got to be able to sell, and you got to have that fire.
Yep.
You gotta have a mean streak as a heel. I'm on one. I don't know how you guys are.
You're not fine.
You know what I want?
No.
You gotta have a mean streak as a heel, man. You have to. You have to.
Yep.
Kids just don't understand that.
Well, the problem is these days, nobody wants to heel, or else they want to be the cool heel.
Yeah.
See, that's one thing I like. Like, in WWE these days, and there are guys, two guys that get knocked. Well, The Miz doesn't anymore. I've always been a fan of The Miz, but he got knocked until last year or so. People used to trash him. Mm-hmm. He was only legit heel.
Yeah.
People actually hated him. Everybody else wants to be a cool heel.
Yep.
And that's the same thing with Jinder Mahal.
Oh, yeah.
Jinder Mahal's getting legit heat.
Yes. Thank you.
And people are trashing him on the internet. I think it's great with him with the title because...
I love it.
Like, you know, there's guys that are good, like...
There is no hurry. I'm just passing out all my checks.
Like Kevin Owens and some of those guys. I like them. But he's the cool heel.
Yeah.
You know? Most of the heels are cool heels.
I will give him credit, though. Like, I don't know if you've seen any of the stuff online, but, like, he tries.
Oh, I know.
His very best.
But he's still some of that cool heel. And Chris Jericho is one of the greatest of all time, but he's a cool heel. Yep. He's a heel.
How about the Usos?
Yeah. I would get, yeah.
They get some, but the loudest, I mean, Jinder Mahal and The Miz, people just do not like.
I will admit, though, like, sometimes you can get caught up in that bubble, though. Like, the Fed we work for in Marion, we kind of, like, debuted the new group there, the new elite there, so to speak. Yeah. And we got caught in that bubble. People thought we were cool heels, and the next thing I know, they were rolling us face.
I do a lot of places.
My goal all along was be like, hey, I want to get some, I want 80s heat. Like, I want fans coming into the ring wanting to stab me. That's, crazy as it sounds, you got to be a little crazy to do this anyway, but.
Yeah, there's some places, even in Puerto Rico now, because I've been going there for 6 years, like, I get quite a bit of cheers, even on the heel. Yeah. I'm like the cool heel there.
That's what happens.
Which I don't like.
Yeah.
And I try to reverse that, but they're just, it's kind of like Abdullah. Even back in the 80s, 70s and 80s, Abdullah kind of became that there too. He was always a heel, but towards the end, the crowd was cheering him because you're kind of a mainstay.
Yep.
You know, you become kind of a mainstay there.
Threw my Abdullah's fork into
threw it into the ocean, yeah. I used to get people do over there. People pee in cups and throw urine on them. I mean, I was a legit.
I'd be so pissed.
Remember after the Taipei match with Hamed?
Yeah.
Remember they chased us out of there?
Yeah, yeah.
They chased me and Joe Fender, my manager, out of there. We had to circle around the back. It was outdoors on
they
the
had
dock.
To sneak them out.
And we had to come around the other side of the buildings.
Dude,
because the crowd chased us.
That's
but
epic.
Like that, I don't get that now there.
That's epic.
I don't get that now there.
I've been on a few different shows.
But I miss that. I love
Kokomo is a pretty big hotbed for us. Like, I remember there's a company down there called AACW. The first time they brought us in, we legit had a fan like trying to get in the ring, security holding him back, he's taking stuff off. The very next show that we got booked there, we had two fans, different angles, like coming to fight us, and I'm literally like being a heel, holding the ropes, going, come on, and I'm looking at Hank the whole time going, dude, they get in here, like, I'm not playing.
I've been
this no longer a show. Like, I'm shooting,
I've been punched several times in Puerto Rico by fans, and you're supposed to punch them back there.
Nice.
And the first time it happened 6 years ago, they're like, a fan punched me in the back of the head.
Uh-huh.
And they go, told me in the back, you know, they had the translator tell me, the promoter did, like, next time a fan hits you, you knock them out. And I'm like, well, in the States, they don't want you to do that because you'll get sued. They're like, here, you knock them the fuck out.
Oh, they'll keep on doing it.
Right, and that's what they want.
That is epic.
So there, you just turn around and punch them back.
That is awesome.
And, yeah, but the last time I got hit was a year ago in Canavanas, wasn't it? But now, the crowd's kind of...
Yeah.
I'm the cool heel, but a year... I was still getting attacked a year ago.
I've had a couple chairs thrown at me, and I've had quite a few canes from old people swung at me.
Yeah.
But... That one night, we had one show we worked, we had legit probably three or four people that wanted to get over the guardrail and get in the ring and fight us.
Remember the old lady who used to come to our shows in Muscatine? She passed away a few years ago. We actually went to her funeral. Her family was really happy about it. But she was, what was she, 86?
Something like that, yeah.
Her family brought her every month. She couldn't really talk or anything.
Okay.
But she had a cane.
Okay.
And God, she hated me, didn't she? She used to try to hit me with a cane.
Yeah.
And then I turned face, and then she loved me.
Yeah.
She hated me for a long time. Bonnie used to make these chief cookies she would sell at the show.
Uh-huh.
And she tried to give her one for free one time when I was still healed. She wouldn't even take a free cookie because it had my name on it. It was funny. But yeah, she had that old cane, man.
Speaking of Puerto Rico,
I think you got too close to it.
You think Victor's mad?
Who?
Oh, never mind. I'm out of the loop
metal?
On that whole deal. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a big inside.
We'll tell you off.
I'll tell you off audio.
Right on. Cool.
I don't think he'll message me anymore.
I don't think so.
But even being a heel, man, it's even down to the little things. Like when the announcer announces us, where we hail from is whoever pays the most. You know what I mean? It's just little shit like that that you pick up along the way, right, man, and get that heat going, you know?
Yep.
Nobody does that anymore.
If you have a crowd that's like kind of dead and like people before me aren't getting much reaction, I will watch the matches before mine. That's another thing that the guys don't do anymore. You should, because what if you go out there and do the same sequence somebody else just did?
Yep.
People don't watch the other matches anymore.
I agree.
And I'll watch because I want to make sure I don't duplicate anything, you know, like a series of moves or a sequence. But I'll watch, and if the crowd's kind of dead, there's usually somebody out there that's yelling.
Right.
And I'll look and see who the loudest mouth person is, and that's where I'm going to direct my heat as soon as I get to that curtain, because if you get that person riled up, the rest of the crowd will fall. And a lot of times in front of small crowds, well, I don't wrestle in front of too small crowds anymore. Most of the shows I do are mostly get pretty decent crowds, but every once in a while you get on a show with a small crowd, and they're usually the hardest to get riled up.
Yep.
I usually can, but it's... when there's only like 30 people there, nobody's anonymous. So
right.
If somebody yells something out, everybody's looking at them. So you got to find that one loud person that don't care.
Yep.
And then they'll all follow.
You know what else I miss is the boys helping the boys. Like, it still happens, but it's very, very rare now. So a guy goes out, he works a match, he comes back, and he knows you're going out next. He says, "Hey man, left front, green shirt."
Yep. Nobody does that anymore.
It still happens about half the places I go.
Hardly anywhere I go. And I hate it. It drives me nuts. Help your boys out, man. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what,
you're getting
really
a payday
is?
Regardless.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And you should want the show. People worry too much just about their own matches. You should want the show as a whole to do well, because you want it to keep going and get bigger, because that's where you work. The bigger it gets, the more money you're going to have potential of making. But people just worry about their match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you should show interest in the entire show, because you want the show to be successful.
Yeah.
It's a place for you to keep working.
You know what, Fenn? I really miss DeMarcus's mom.
DeMarcus's mom,
she was a good...
DeMarcus is a good worker out in the Northwest, and his mom used to go to all the shows. She passed away, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, I had this masculine.
But she's sitting in the front row, and boy, I mean, she was smart to the business, but when you started beating her son up,
sucked her right in.
It was real. Yeah,
right, sucked her right in.
She would get so upset.
Right before she died, I wore the Uno Seca Uno and the mask.
Uh huh.
And she loved Dave.
Yeah, and she. So I'm sitting here, and the whole time I was working her.
He was sitting in the crowd by her, and she didn't know it was him.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I like that.
He had a hood on.
Yeah, I had a hood. So we're talking, I was working her, and that's your son. She goes, "Well, where you from? I moved here from Mexico." Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You got another mom here, you know.
Aww.
You know, like that.
And then I go up, I pull off my thing, I yell,
looked at her, she got all pissed off and stuff. But what made me teary-eyed when I talked to DeMarcus' sister, she goes, his mom got home, called her up. Yeah, you know what DeBashi did? Blah, blah, blah. And he goes, you know what, the whole time. No, because she told me, you'll always have a mom in me before I went up. See, I don't know if she's working the daughter or working me, because because she goes, yeah, but she goes, you know what? I knew him, I was him the whole time or something like that. That's what she told him. I feel bad.
We had this.
Real quick. So then they did a thing.
Uh-huh.
I retired that mask and put it in the frame and everything and gave it to Tamlin.
Oh, really?
The mask again.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I'm a big face at NWWA in Portland now, but before, a few years ago, Kobashi and I, when we were doing the World Power thing, we used to work for BCW in Portland, and we got so much heat there. Remember the time we flipped the lady into the seizure and they had to take her out? Paramedics did.
She got so much.
We were arguing with this African American woman.
Forgot about that.
And she was on the guardrail in the front row, and we were right at the guardrail, and she hated us. And we were like in her face, and he's acting like he's going over the guardrail after her, and like I'm acting like I'm gonna hold him, holding him back. And she's like, "I'm not afraid of you," but she kept backing up. All of a sudden, she flipped into a seizure. The paramedics had to take her out of the building. Then we got so much heat after that because he's got like, I kind of feel bad. He's like, "I kind of feel bad." I said, "We got to run with this."
Right. Yeah.
And so we're cutting promo. Like, that crowd hated us.
Well,
we bragged it up. We're like for the guys that flip women into seizures, man. but yeah, the paramedics had to take her out of the building. They had to stop the show.
That's epic.
Real quick about DeMarcus' mom. We came out one time. There was a thing at Kentucky Fried Chicken in the back.
Yep.
And you know, we're pushing the envelope, and we gave his mom the chicken.
She's African American.
Yeah. And she got mad.
Stereotype, right?
She threw it back at us and said, "Well, this is not even Popeyes or something like that." That's what she was mad about.
Remember the time you busted the bottle and carved open DeMarcus's eye? She was flipping out on that.
Yeah. That's
you busted
awesome.
A beer bottle.
Yeah.
That is awesome. That's the one thing I can say. Like, I don't think me and you have ever been on a show together, but no. I've seen your matches and your promos and stuff. I dig the vicious streak. Like, you portray that. Like, you're going to try to chop somebody's head off in the ring. Like,
Savio would tell you need to be a little more aggressive.
Yeah, Savio.
Yeah, man.
I hope you're listening, Savio.
Yeah.
I'll probably be getting a call tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, that's just like when we're talking about that Ludwig guy, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, he ended up being in the semi-main in the tag.
Uh-huh.
Because the guy, you know, I said, just bring the commercial, bring your stuff, you know. Anyways, so we did our thing, and I'm doing the whole, my Arab gimmick, but
yeah.
I'm a U.S. citizen.
Right.
You know, playing
right.
that.
Yeah.
And almost started a riot. I kept on jumping on his ear and saying, "I want some more white meat," you know. I'm sitting, And then Rodeo hops on my back, so I played off work and I'm like, I'm choking.
Yeah.
He had a messed up back, and his wife actually jumped on my back, thought I was attacking it. I was like, she was holding me, and she's like, breathe. And I was like, really? And I kept it on for like 20 minutes, and she ended up apologizing. Well, I thought you were really
you got a little the sugar on your nose, unless you just did a bump. I don't know.
Shit. Here we go.
You should have asked the waitress to lick it off.
No, okay, do this.
I got something sweet for you.
Hey, when she comes by, say that. Say, "You got something on your nose, all right?" And then I'll say something.
That's a long runway there, buddy.
That's so... Okay. Is it still there?
I'm just glad he's getting it and not me.
Getting what?
Getting the ribs from Chief, ripping off the square, brother.
He's been kind of tame this week.
I've been on J-Dog all weekend. I always
see. Thank you, J-Dog.
I haven't been around J-Dog for a little while, and he used to ride with me every weekend, so I'd have to keep his ego in check, you know? So I got to, like, get that self-esteem down there. It's 11 o'clock here.
Is it?
Yeah. It's way an hour later here.
Oh, your phone didn't
update?
Oh, yeah. Almost. It updated.
Yeah.
Yeah, your phone didn't update.
Mine's 11 o'clock almost.
Yeah, 10:55.
Oh, there goes mine.
Oh, you must have your Cheech and Chong update on.
What?
My ringtone is Cheech and Chong.
Well, they're going to be in Seattle.
We're supposed to.
Oh, are you serious?
Yep. We're supposed to help decorate the place. I wonder if they got it done yet. We're supposed to help decorate this morning at 8, and then J-Dog wouldn't run anyway. Then I told him last night we're going to meet you at 9:15, and he's like, "What about decorating?" I said, "Well, I can help a little bit and then come back over and finish." I'm like, "Hey, wait, guys, got to eat."
Right? Right? Yeah.
I'm a fat man. Don't eat me for my food.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Got to stuff my face, man. So, old J-Dog getting married.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah,
that conversation took a real unawkward silence, didn't it?
What if that was parents' thought about us? I mean, her parents.
Oh, yeah, Morgan's parents. Got oh. We hung out at their place last night.
Oh.
Talk about yeah, having beasts.
I haven't heard anything. The wedding might be off now.
Yeah. Hey, they probably think him and Beats had something going on together.
Jason, yeah, me, you, Beats. Jason kept apologizing for us.
Are you serious?
Apologize for me.
So, you talk to Sam or Axel anymore? Like, I haven't heard nothing.
Well, Axel lived with me and Bonnie for a year.
Oh,
I was. It was only supposed to be for 4 to 6 weeks. Oh. And then a year we finally had Vegas thing make him leave, so he don't talk to us now.
Oh.
Sam.
I want
still,
my house back.
Sam.
I'm not going to talk
Sam
to
Sam graduated and got a good job on computers. That's what he went to school for. I still talk to Sam, but we don't see him that much.
Axel drunk messaged me. Probably, I don't know, like 4 or 5 months ago. I was up. It was like...
He was still living with us then.
It was like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, and I'm up and I'm getting ready to go to work. And
on Facebook?
Yeah. Sent me a message on Facebook. I probably still got it. I can find it, I'm sure. He's just like, hey, something, something. I was like, what's up, man? Long time, no talk.
Why the hell are you messaging me at 5 o'clock in the morning?
He's like, I'm sorry if I woke you up. I'm a little drunk.
It's like,
I'm up getting ready for work, dude. Sounds like you need to go to sleep, bro.
Probably sitting by himself drinking up in the bedroom.
He's, I seen something. He had did something on Facebook about he's in a relationship or something.
Not anymore.
Oh, that's over now? Oh,
that lasted about a month.
Was it with Sapphire?
Shit!
Oh, you got the joke.
Ooh, ooh, wow, that's funny. Oh boy.
X looked at this big black girl a couple times.
Oh, that's
jungle,
where that comes in. Okay. Okay. See, I took it a totally different way.
Stripper?
Well, no, like you said, Sapphire.
I knew exactly
so I was,
you, man.
Yeah.
Huh?
I knew exactly.
Yeah,
you.
Okay, I knew you. I thought he did too.
He didn't know the.
Yeah, I didn't know the whole backstory there.
It was a full backstory.
Go, go, Axel.
I'm gonna take a lot of people on this podcast.
Huh?
I'm gonna take a.
Oh,
lot
yeah,
of
we're
people.
Still recording, aren't we?
Yeah, I could edit whatever out.
Hi, world. I'm sorry, your ratings are probably going to drop after this one, though, brother.
They'll probably go up.
Yeah, too bad you weren't running at the beginning when we were doing that serious.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Came in the middle.
It was funny when he said that. I was like, oh, yeah, that probably would be a good idea.
Maybe somebody learned something.
Yeah, yeah.
But we did get a good chunk, though.
Yeah.
Decent.
So did Axel.
Yeah.
Apparently she didn't.
Oh boy. Hmm.
She got a below average chunk.
Do what?
She got a below average chunk.
How about Sam Moon?
Smell it.
So, okay, so I've always wanted to ask you this question. What was up with that whole deal when he painted himself? Yeah. What's the deal with that?
That was the deal with this fan up there. This kid.
We're talking about Axel.
Hey, wait, before you go into that, I remember seeing it on Facebook, and I remember looking at my wife and going, oh, shit.
Is it total happiness?
Because, I mean, it spread like wildfire.
Bonnie said not to do it. Beast told him to go. Beast was on the show. Beast was like, do it.
From a Heat perspective,
well,
I love it.
But he's not Piper.
The people that weren't there, you don't know the backstory.
Though. Okay.
What's the kid's name? The tiny wiener guy. He's an African-American kid. Guy sits in the front. Not a kid. He's like 30.
Okay.
But he sits in the front row. And every month, he likes attention. It was okay. A back-and-forth thing with us up there.
Yeah.
And he always yells at every wrestler, you got a tiny wiener. So we do something to him every month. The month before we came out. And because he's always doing a tiny wiener thing. So the month before was like Christmas. It was December, so it was a Christmas show. So we came out with a gift bag, and we go like, we got a gift for you. Everybody's watching. He likes to get attention.
Yeah.
And so we had a bunch of cocktail weenies in a bag, and I dumped them over his head. The crowd was going nuts.
Oh,
and
okay.
He thought it was funny. He likes getting the attention.
Yeah.
He's like, here's your tiny wiener.
And then during the, here's your tiny wiener, Troy. You know, and he was throwing them at us when we were in the ring. But every wrestler, doesn't matter, each match, the heel, he's like, man, you got a tiny wiener. He yells, and he gets the crowd to chant tiny wiener all match. So it was a back and forth thing with us, with him.
Yeah.
So Michael was his name.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that sweatshirt that Axel came on is the same one that Michael wears.
Okay.
The same color.
Yeah.
And then he painted his face. He came out being Michael. And we found a tiny wiener song on the internet. So Axel always managed me there. So tonight I'm having a special manager, Michael, what's his face? And then they hit the tiny wiener song, and Axel comes out dressed as him. It wasn't an offensive thing. He was playing
mocking
him.
Yeah. Yeah,
but we told him to like wear a fro, wear the same clothes, don't do the blackface. Yeah.
But Beast thought it was okay for him to do it too, so they kind of went with that. So
I
get it.
I don't DX know. Done it.
The story,
Generation X.
Yeah, right.
The story behind it. Yeah,
but what happened there is a wrestler is the one. Well, Maru, he's mixed. He was in the back when Axel put his stuff on. He thought the whole thing was funny, but his wife's white and they have mixed kids. Well, his wife threw a fit out for the show, then all of a sudden Maru had a problem with it, and they're the ones that threw it on the internet. And then everybody who doesn't know the story at the show with the kid,
yeah, exactly,
they don't know. And then,
yeah, like I said, and I don't, like, I seen it on Facebook,
right.
And I looked at my wife and I was like, oh shit,
there was, and actually,
and
the
I showed
was
her the whole
started,
deal, and I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna stay out of this for a
and
second.
Then somehow the whole thing in the end got blamed on me. And it wasn't my idea, was it? It was Axel's. And then everybody started out there, well, because I'm the veteran, I guess. Oh, Chief probably put him up doing all this other stuff. And then, of course, Axel doesn't go on there and try to take the heat off himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then it all starts falling back on me, which I didn't care because, you know, I got Big Show. I don't give a shit.
Right.
And I even had people, veterans in the business, and they're like, oh, you better respond to this because this might hurt you with bookings. I was like, it ain't going to hurt me. And it didn't.
Right.
I don't give a shit about it. I'm like, I don't respond to crap like
that. But see, it's stuff like
so
that.
So the only response I did is I took the Roddy Piper one when he did it to Bad News Brown, and
yep.
I made that my profile picture.
Yeah, I seen
month.
That. Yeah,
so that was my response.
That's why you did it.
I think I talked to you later that night. I don't know. I don't remember. I don't remember if it was me that messaged you or you messaged me. I don't remember, but I believe it was later that night we talked.
You probably messaged me about
and,
it.
And, but at the same point in time, like, that's my problem. Like, politically correctness is just...
It never was part of wrestling.
As a heel, I want to get heat by any means necessary. I don't care how low I have to go.
Michael thought it was hilarious that night. Can we do it? He was laughing the whole time, right?
Yeah, I had
heard
that.
Other people after the show started messaging him, telling him he should be offended. And then after two or three, and he even put up a post saying that I thought it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing racist
I've
about
seen
it.
That.
And then 2 days later, all of a sudden, he was offended by it, and he unfriended me and Axel, and because enough people drilled into him, you should be offended by it.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
and he loved it that night.
Then I should be really offended about wrestling.
Yeah, really.
But see, here's the thing, though. Like,
I should come
people
out and
should
me.
Be offended.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
But the thing is, right now, Mike Bessler wrote an article that time, remember?
Yeah, remember? But
because Debashi and I were going at each other when we were feuding, like 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, yeah,
when
yeah.
He was a heel and I was a face.
I remember
AIWF.
That. I remember that.
And he was throwing drunken Indian,
yep.
You know, all the Indian stereotypes at me, and I was throwing the Middle Eastern Slurpee.
Yep.
He works in 7-Eleven, right?
Yep.
Nobody was offended. Well, then he had a match before he wrestled me coming up with Bad Blood, an African-American wrestler in the Northwest.
Yep.
And he
we
put
got
a,
one here
he put
in
a
pic, too.
And he had like 3 belts, Bad Blood did, so he put a thing up with belts hanging on a cotton tree with Bad Blood picking on.
Oh.
He got so much flack over the internet.
Oh, I believe it.
And then Mike Bessler wrote an article on PWI about us, and he's like, how come you can make Indian stereotypes and Middle Eastern ones and nobody's offended, but then you make a black one
yeah.
and all of a sudden
yeah.
it's racist?
Yeah.
Remember I interviewed
and
a monkey?
He goes, it all exactly. is or none of it is.
Mm-hmm.
I had a sock monkey, a big one,
mm-hmm.
and I interviewed him as Bad Blood, and every time he talked, it was like,
but just like Jinder Mahal right now.
Yeah.
They hate him because they look at him as Middle Eastern
yep.
or Muslim.
Yep, when he's actually Canadian.
Hindu.
Right.
He's actually Canadian.
Yeah, well, yeah,
he has
the background, but yeah, he was born
Hindu.
And grown.
Hindu.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the fans are racist.
Mm-hmm. Sullivan told me
to an extent. I mean, that's why they're hating him. They're hating him because of, and it always has in wrestling. You hated Russians because of the Russian game because you were programmed to not like Russians. Mm-hmm. You hated Iron Sheik because, you know.
But that's just the way it is. I'd love to sit down for at least a couple hours and just talk to Sullivan would be awesome.
Sullivan was telling
Sullivan?
Me.
I know Sullivan. Really
love
Sullivan.
I love that.
I would never do a gimmick.
He was my first guy.
Hot lattes and yeah, we want caramel
for both.
Yeah, and we want the extra espresso shot and cream and sugar.
All right, anything else?
Insulin shot. Easy enough.
Yeah, she's in.
Should say, oh, did he go up in price?
Wait for your order.
Yeah, we never paid.
Put it in the park before I take my foot off the brake.
Bitch, I said extra cream and sugar.
Yeah, she didn't even say anything. That's nice. Some of them don't, and some of them. We had a woman and we had a guy once too, didn't we?
Yeah.
That questioned it. I'm like, he's like, well, there's already, it's a latte, it's already got milk in it, and we're like, you don't really need extra cream, we're like, what do you freaking say? And that one lady,
isn't it really, no?
You need to put extra cream sugar in there. Arguing with me is not really healthy. Jesus. Two buttons stuck together. Can you get your nails and things? I'm trying to get them apart. I can't. Can't go that way, man. It's two dimes there. So get them apart. They're yours. A few things. I wonder what I got in here. A few things are stuck together.
Chief, what's it stuck together with?
I don't know. I can't tell when Beast rides over there with me and it's dark at night. Probably Pookie Juice. And you know, that's what his mom called him. That's his nickname, is Pookie.
Pookie Juice?
Pookie.
Pookie is my nickname.
Oh, but it's Pookie Juice.
And Pookie Juice is another word for it.
I'm going to make a drink called Pookie Juice.
I'm sure Floyd will make
Dunkin'
you one. Dunkin'
Donuts and I want some Pookie Juice.
I'm sure Floyd will make you one, bud.
Yeah. The Floyster, call it the Floyster.
You might even use a special stir stick. Something freaking
funny. We'll put this on the podcast.
What is so funny in there that we're missing out on?
Do you guys sell Pookie Juice?
You're probably making fun of my hair, aren't you?
Do you guys sell Pookie juice? I'm from Seattle. Do you guys sell Pookie juice? She just ignored me.
She's pretty smart, don't she?
Excuse me, ma'am.
That milk steamer on the latte machine
is fine. That's
okay. Excuse me, I got a question. I'm from Seattle. Do you guys sell Pookie juice?
So, I'm from Cincinnati. Do you sell what?
Pookie juice.
Pookie juice?
Yeah. Explain what Pookie juice is.
Is it like jungle juice? Like.
I guess a beast painted it would be.
Sounds good to me.
Have a good one, man.
Thank you.
You have a good one. Oh, wait, I gotta shut my door.
She said it's hungry.
She said jungle juice.
She said something like jungle juice, but I guess a beast made it.
Want to swing from his tree? His trunk?
Damn.
Oh, man. Hi, Bonnie.
Sorry, he's don't
getting,
worry about me.
He's getting creepier and creepier every day, isn't he?
Hey Bonnie.
Really cute,
hey Bonnie, I had fun.
think you go right.
Oh, shit.
Bonnie?
What?
I had fun.
I bet you.
Bonnie?
No, it's taking me out this way, bud. Oh. It's going to go right over to Lexington over here.
What's your favorite part? The girl's braces, or?
Bonnie.
Don't ask me why.
Bonnie.
What?
I had fun.
Oh, 19 runs in the road over there anyway, so I'm just taking us off that way here.
Oh, you have less fun. You keep that up.
Bonnie. I love you. I'm going to edit that out.
You're going to edit what out?
I'm putting this on the podcast. I said edit this out.
Are you recording all this?
Yeah, I started at Dunkin' Donuts. But I can't find... We had one more question I need to ask from... I got from... Let's see. Biz... Okay.
Oh, yeah, we recorded a pretty good podcast with
Tony
C the other day. West Lexington Avenue for a half
mile. Oh, wow. Nice.
What's that?
Yes.
They did a good job.
Yeah, but it's hot as fuck, though. It's nice.
Oh, I watched it. Allie was in there and making it exactly like we said. I could see her making it.
It's right through there.
Yeah, it's good. They didn't even argue with us. They were cool.
Right.
And the one likes spooky juice. So
yeah, jungle juice. You seen a black man? Black man. She had no teeth in her mouth, so I bet she should give a good head.
Well, unless you like a little teeth with yours. That way, I guess she wouldn't, but yeah.
Okay, I have one more email. I don't think we read this one.
Okay.
From Billy, I think. Okay, wait. He goes, what do you all eat when on the road? If you could only eat one food the rest of your life, what would it be? Also, how was Beast Potato Salad from Billy?
What do we all eat on the road? But it kind of depends on where we're at. Because, you know, like, we have specific, like, a lot of special places that... local places that we each place we go, don't we, Beast? Like all over the country. Yeah. So, you know, like our rib place over in Ohio. And so it kind of just depends on. We eat a big variety. We don't eat the same thing all the time. We do drink the same thing all the time, though. Generally, Dunkin' Donuts or Timmy Horton's coffee.
Yeah. We just heard what they ordered. So, what's your favorite food, Chief?
I don't know if I could pick a favorite. I'm a fat kid, so like I like a lot of different things. We do like. Probably one of my favorites is barbecue for sure. I like barbecue ribs and brisket. And then I like a lot of seafood, of course, you know. I like lobster, shrimp, oysters on a half shell, stuff like that. So I don't know. I don't know if I could pick one specific favorite, but it'd probably be one of those two. But barbecue is definitely one of the top of my list. For sure.
I kind
of
like bearded clams, but when they're shaved. How about you?
Then it wouldn't be bearded.
I know.
I like barbecue and certain places that has good fried chicken, like this restaurant called the Red Apple in Michigan.
Yeah.
They have very good fried chicken. The best that I've tasted on the road so far.
And as for Beast's potato salad, let me tell you something. It was so good. He saved me at the wedding reception. Can you believe? At the wedding reception, they had a Muslim guy marrying him, and they had pulled pork.
Yeah, that was the main course, pulled pork.
But what I did, I took a bun, and I put some of the barbecue sauce and some of the Beast homemade potato salad.
I saw you doing that, man.
It was actually good because that was kind of an old school thing, you know, but I put a little barbecue sauce on it. It was the bomb, Beast. You saved my life.
Alrighty. That's what I'm there for. Yep, all that potato salad was gone within an hour.
He made like 1,000 pounds, and like I posted on social media.
1,000 pounds.
Yeah, this mofo made me his slave and carried down his long ass steps in the hood in Chicago as bullets were flying, and I was juking and jiving.
He doesn't live in that hood in Chicago.
Well, it sounds good for the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was juking and jiving the bullets.
On Halstead Street.
Yeah, and I was trying to hold that big 1,000-pound tub of potato salad. My biceps are bulging. Thank you, Beast. I didn't even have to go to the gym.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Good workout. Just lift the Beast homemade potato salad. You'll get the best cardio ever.
That's right. No, Beast has a nice house. When I pulled in, he was in a nice neighborhood, and I love the architecture.
Yeah, I love the way those. Philadelphia has the houses are like that in town. Philadelphia is very much.
I love the old look. They don't make the houses like that more.
I like brick. I love brick houses. Yeah. My house is brick.
Yeah, I like brick house. Hi, Bonnie.
Have fun.
Silence.
I had fun, so I can't.
I had fun. Oh, I'm sure Floyd had fun.
Oh, yeah.
Stop this,
bud.
What a cock block
you are. What's that?
I said, what a cock block you are.
The true meaning of cock block.
You blocked that cock with
your cock. Yeah, we're driving down. There's a 7-Eleven. Mobile station.
Speaking of 7-Eleven, how's business?
How's business? I don't know. I don't
Make
know.
Me a slurpy, bitch.
Hey, I don't know. Ron Sullivan stole the gimmick.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised he's not like Ron Von DeBosche now.
I know. I think his last one was Blackheart, wasn't it?
Yeah. That didn't last long. Blackheart 2.0. I don't even think he wrestled as it. He was up on the internet, but I don't even think he wrestled.
I don't know.
I think he's related to like everybody that was a name.
Yeah. You know. How do you guys feel? Okay. I think me and Chief talked about this. That. Like Ron Sutherland, I'm just using him for an example.
Right.
We love Ron, you know. But Franken has, but then you post that you work at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
How's that supposed to help the gimmick?
Well, yeah, it doesn't really. But nobody seems to try to maintain that aura, you know, that aura, whatever they the bigger than life and the separation between the fans and the work, you know, the wrestlers. And I think that's the problem. Like, you want to interact with fans, but when they just go hang around in the crowd and they would expose too much of their personal life, it just makes it so they're on the same level somewhat, and you want the wrestlers to be bigger than life.
Yeah, well, you know, we're usually more wild, but we kind of winding down. It's a long weekend. Our dog, J-Dog, got married, and we're just like, you know, just chilling. But maybe this is a good time to end the podcast. We're going to reminisce the next few hours driving on the road. We got Miss Atakulakula in the passenger seat. We got Chief Atakulakula in the driver's seat.
What up?
We got the Wild Man Beast on the other seat. And then we got me in this seat.
What's up, dogs?
What up? I think we should do a little freestyle. Why don't you sing.
Close this episode out with a little freestyle rap back there.
Yeah.
The Boshi and Beast. Well, the melting pot.
Freestyle. I'm not real good with freestyle.
Can you beatbox?
I gotta get my lips moist.
I get them moist.
Yeah, always teasing.
No, I was gonna give you some of this cucumber juice.
We're gonna call you DT or CB from now on.
No, this is cucumber juice. Cucumber electrolyte. Juice. You wanna sip? Not on the cucumber. I mean this
cucumber.
Right here. Rockstar cucumber live. Listen, we're not talking about jungle juice or whatever that pookie juice is. Come on, let's get a beat.
I can't really beat boss like how I used to back in the
That's
day.
That's okay. I can't really rap either, so.
Can you yodel?
Yodel?
Say beast. A yodel-a-hoo, I'm rocking the mic because he stole my shoe. Rolling down the street because everyone knows we are so sweet. We got Beast and Chief and Bonnie too. Rocking on the mic because you know we're not crew because we're here. Telling everyone we're bad. Telling everyone that we eat sand. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just spitting out rhymes. Telling everyone we got a long time. Got a yodel old lady on the... Okay, well, oh, wait. Oi. I got a joke for you guys.
That was kind of nice. We just invented something new. It was like rap with yoga.
Yeah. Here's a joke. This guy told me
this.
You
gotta get that copyright.
Yeah.
There was a farmer, right? He had a guy staying on his land. He was like Raffles. Working for him, right?
Yeah.
Raffles.
Huh? Wait, what? A farmer?
He's telling a joke.
A farmer. He had some guy living on his land. You know, he was doing some work and stuff. So... He goes, whatever you do, you don't fuck my daughters.
Yeah.
So, he goes, next morning, he goes, hey, did you fuck one of my daughters? He goes, yeah. Yeah, and he goes, what? I told you not to. He goes, I'm sorry, sir. She came into my room. I was dreaming, blah, blah, blah. Things happen, you know. Next day, a couple days later, farmer busts in. He goes, did you fuck my other daughter? He goes, I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist, you know. And he goes, he said that, fuck, I forgot. Oh, anyways, make a long joke shorter. He goes, what? I said, you better get off my property, because I think you might try for my other daughter. And he says, well, I hate to say this, but I got your third daughter too. And he goes, what? And he went and got the shotgun. He says, boy, you better start running. Start shooting as he's running. He goes, and he
up the podcast, so. Peace, love, and let's ring the bell.
That's all, folks.
Dobashi's Radio Takedown is a Say Saha Dynamite production. Do you know what's not $9.99 and absolutely free?
Dobashi
Radio Takedown Network!
Dobashi Radio Takedown Network.com.
Okay, do it again. Say Dobashi Radio Takedown Network.com.
You do it.
No, do it one more time.
You do it.
I just did. Now you do it again.
No.
SasquatchProWrestling.com.
Baby, you got a better goal. Yo, mama, tell me how you feel. It's no queen. Next smile, I wanna see you cry. I never seen someone like you before in my life. If you with me, that's how I'm sleep. Special. Baby, I got none. Nothing. I show you my secret. Unforgettable. I feel how you feel. Baby, my pride. Make me feel extra when you're around. Where were you tonight? I need you around. I feel when you're around.
How you want me to? How do you feel? Love for real. How you want me to? How do you feel? Love for real. How you want me to? How do you feel? Love for real. How you want me to? How do you feel? Love for real.
It's special, baby girl, when it's in your heart. So queen, you can be the world stronger. Yellow, I love anything you did. I'm speeding in love. If you wanna take me, I got something for you, you can feel. Let's go. I'ma find you a thing and need it out. You need to see you and feel you next to me. Come, I make promise. I will keep my promise. I can only think about your beautiful smile. I know you can't explain your feel. It's just too much to say. I know how or why your feel.
How you want me to? How do you feel? Love for you. How you want me to? How do you feel? Love for you. How you want me to? How do you feel? Love for you. How you want me to? How do you feel? Love for you.
I know how or why you feel I so strong. You will look me in my eyes and say, you want me to? Feel? Then I want you to know I'll wait here for you. I'll treat you how you wanna be treated all your life. You treat me out. When you see me, tell a nigga how you want me. How you want me? I just between me and you. Everything, I gave it to you. So true. No lies. Honesty. I never leave. When you need me, dog is
how you want me to? How do you feel? Love for you. How you want me to? How do you feel? Love for you. How you want me to? How do you feel? Love for you. How you want me to? How do you feel? Love for you.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.